This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Inshallah ta'ala, Ramadan will be approaching in a day or two. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants all of us a fruitful and a blessed month of Ramadan, in which we become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the various worships that we carry out. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. I just want to take this opportunity to briefly discuss a very important aspect of our deen, a pillar of Islam, which many people tend to fulfill in the month of Ramadan. But it's not necessarily something that has to be done in Ramadan, but many people tend to fulfill it in Ramadan. And this is what one of the issues that I want to discuss, which is the ibadah, the worship of zakat. Many years ago, some 20-odd years ago, I compiled a book, a small booklet, you could say, a very short and a simple booklet, which is about 28 sides, titled Simplified Rules of Zakat. Alhamdulillah, it proved to be very, very beneficial. Many students in madrasas used to study this book before their fiqh, you know, texts. And numerous people over the years have been asking about this book. Unfortunately, for the past 10, 12 years or even more, this book is not in publication. It is out of print, not available. Neither a PDF is available. Inshallah, hopefully, maybe if time permits, I will hopefully work on it and improve it and maybe publish it again as a book. But this is a very simple guide, Simplified Rules of Zakat, which was approved by one of my great teachers, Sheikh Mufti Muhammad Taqi Uthmani, Hafidhahullah. He actually wrote a small foreword as well. And basically, this book is just that. It's a simplified, a very basic guide to zakat. So what I want to do, inshallah, in the next few minutes is just give a summary of what's in this book. And this is like a beginner's guide, none of the detailed rules for which we have to study the fiqh of zakat and maybe even ask expert scholars when it comes to complex matters of zakat. But this is just the very basic of zakat. So a summary of this book and some one or two very important issues that I want to discuss in this book, inshallah ta'ala. So right in the beginning, I mean, I don't need to go into this, but we talked about the importance of zakat, the obligation of zakat. Well, we start with the definition, the obligation and the virtues and the benefits and the warnings for not paying zakat, which we don't need to discuss, and we can read them as well anyway, inshallah ta'ala. Now, the first point discussed here, which we need to understand, is that zakat is a specific form of charity. Okay, zakat is not just charity. Is not just zakat. Zakat is a charity, but charity is not only zakat. That's a very important point to remember, because a lot of times people think that zakat actually just means charity, and that's any charity is called zakat. No, not every charity is called zakat. Zakat is a specific type of charity for which there are specific laws, specific rules, and it only relates to 2.5% of our wealth and not the remaining 97.5%. So if we have money, this zakat relates only to the 2.5% we have and not the 97.5%, for which there is sadaqah, there is, you know, giving all different forms of charity, gift, hadiyah, atiyah, hiba, whatever we want to call the different types of grantings and gifts and donations that we do. But zakat is a specific type of charity. And the rules for zakat are very detailed and very strict and very stringent as well. So zakat is a specific type of charity, and the basic rules all apply. Like, it's not an obligation unless the person is a mukallaf, legally responsible, Islamically responsible. So he's a Muslim, he's sane, he's reached puberty, etc. But then after that, the condition is that a person has to have a zakat payable amount. We call that nisab, right? We call that nisab in Arabic, zakat payable amount, which is 612.36 grams of silver or 87 grams of gold. And this fluctuates based on the value of gold or the value of silver. And the mainstream opinion is that from whichever two a person becomes the owner of nisab, then the person has to pay zakat. So in our times, a person will most likely be eligible to pay zakat. He will reach that level of nisab. Like, we have cash, etc. So through the value of silver. So 612.36 grams of silver the day we're paying zakat, or we need to see what is the value of 612.36 grams of silver in cash. If it's about 500 pounds, 600 pounds, once we reached 500 pounds, 600 pounds, then that means we have the nisab. But I'm going to explain further, inshallah, about this. So the first point is that we need to have zakat nisab, zakat payable amount, in order to pay, in order for the obligation to come upon us. If somebody wants to pay, even if they don't have that, that's, you know, it's voluntary, it's not a problem. But I'm talking about the necessity, the obligation of paying zakat. It is when somebody reaches the zakat payable amount, the nisab. One really important point about this, which I've discussed in this book, which a lot of people don't know, is that we hear that hala alayhi al-hawl, 1 year has to pass. 1 year, 1 year. This is a common thing that, alhamdulillah, a lot of Muslims know. But many of us sometimes don't understand what this 1 year, passing of 1 year, actually means. Passing of 1 year does not mean that every single part of wealth that comes into our possession, a year has to pass on it. So we have to, that would be very difficult. We'd have to keep a record of every money. Like, you've got 5p, okay, this, I got this 5p on this date. Have I got it for 1 year? Not every wealth. Basically, this is the simple way of how zakat is, you know, calculated. How it's calculated and sort of implemented, which I've explained to a lot of people before as well, is that, look, every Muslim, after reaching puberty, must have a zakat payable date. Everybody in our life, like, if you're watching this, what's your zakat date? That's your question, just like your birth date. If I ask you what's your birth date, I'm sure you know your birth date. Like that, what is your zakat date? The birth of your zakat date. It's really important. And that date has to be an Islamic date. Not based on the Gregorian calendar, rather an Islamic date. Whether it's Muharram, whether it's Safar, whether it's Ramadan, whether it's Sha'ban, whether it's Dhul Qa'dah or Dhul Hijjah. Whichever. It's not necessarily Ramadan. Zakat is not necessarily based on Ramadan. And I will mention that, look, you can pay in Ramadan if you want to, because you think rewards are, inshallah, not you think, of course, based on the hadith, rewards are increased. But the calculation and the setting aside of the money has to be done on that date. So that date, what is that date? That is the date when the first time in your life, after reaching puberty, you reached the zakat payable amount. Your wealth reached the level of nisab. You acquired those 500-600 pounds, whatever they are, the amount of money based on the 612.36 grams of silver. So say, for example, you were 18 years old, and when you were 18, the first time in your life, you actually got to that level, and nisab was, say, 600 pounds, for example, or 500 pounds. I'm not sure exactly. I could be quite far off from this in cash, but it's based on 612.36 grams of silver. So the first day in your life, your father gave you 1,000 pounds cash. Before that, you were just in college, whatever. No money whatsoever. And you got your first 1,000 pounds. That day is your zakat date, birth date. You keep that date. You make a record of that date. Imagine that was the 1st of Muharram. So 1st of Muharram, you keep a record of that. Now, for the rest of your life, 1st of Muharram is your zakat date. Now what you do is, you go to sleep for the next year. Not literally, but in terms of zakat. You don't have to worry about zakat. Money is coming, going, arriving, exiting, receiving, spending, paying, whatever. It doesn't really matter. You just completely don't think about zakat. Until the following year, which is the 1st of Muharram, exactly 1 year, and this is what you do every year. On your zakat date, the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning, you go and offer Fajr Salah. And after Fajr Salah, maybe before breakfast, maybe you could have breakfast. The first thing you do is, this is my zakat date. Happy zakat date birthday. Now what do you do? This is the day I need to check. What do I have today? So you check. And there's three types of wealth mainly, what we need to check on which there is zakat. So today I check. First of all, cash. How much cash do I have? So I need to check. Cash in hand, in my pocket. Empty your pockets, right? Check in your wallet. Check in your bedroom, under your pillow, whatever. Check all your different accounts, bank accounts, all the cash that you have. Total that. After that, gold and silver. If you've got anything, any gold, jewelry if you're a sister, silver, you know, jewelry, just if you're a sister, jewelry, and brothers don't wear jewelry, of course. If you have gold and silver, then get that weighed and the value of that in cash. Okay, so X amount of grams of gold you've got, what is the value of 1 gram of gold, etc. And just total it and write that down. So imagine on that day you say, I've got £500 cash, £500 worth of gold and silver. So that's gone to £10,000. Then you check after that business goods, because this is what zakat is on gold, cash, on gold and silver. And the third item on which there is zakat is malu tijara, business goods. So you check. If you're doing business, what are business goods? Business goods are those items that a person has purchased with a clear intention of resale. So you are buying and selling cars. You've actually got a car that you purchased a week ago and it's on sale with the intention of resale. So you have to take the value of that. So anything that you've got in your possession right now, today on that first of Muharram, which was purchased with the intention of resale, you take the value of that. Anything that's in your possession right now. So the value of that. And with the value of goods, people ask, is it retail value? Is it cost price? Is it sell price? Well, best is retail price. That'll be the highest price. Okay, it's not the cost price, but it's the current market value. Now, current market value, there are three types of current market values. One is the sale price, the whatever price you've put it on sale as. The other is wholesale price. You can do that as well, okay, which is a bit easier. The superior and the most difficult is the actual price you put it on sale at. But if you want to do it on wholesale price, you've got lots of goods and the wholesale price is a bit less. You can keep that in mind. And there's also a third price, which if somebody was to come and if you've got a shop and you've got so many goods in your shop, and if you think to yourself that if I sell my shop, all my goods, tomorrow somebody comes and says, I'm going to take all your stock in one go, you will give them at maybe even half price, less than wholesale price. So what's that price that you've got in your mind? You can also, there's flexibility, concession, dispensation to take that into consideration as well. So you take the value of that. So cash, gold, silver, business goods. Put them all to a total. And say, let's say your total has come to £2,000. Now what do you do? Now you have to think about loans that people have to give you. So you think, okay, does anybody owe me any money? Now, there's a lot of detail, but generally, loans which are receivables and people will be paying you and you expect them to be paid, not something that somebody took £20,000 20 years ago and that's it, the guy's gone off the face of the earth. Then there's different rules that you never hope to receive it, etc. But generally, people who've taken loans from you or who've purchased items, haven't paid you, etc., the people need to pay you money. These type of loans that you've given to people, you take them into consideration and you add that to the £2,000. So people owe you in total £1,000. You've added that £3,000. Now here there's one thing. If you don't want to add it, you don't have to. But then what will happen is when you do receive the loans, you'll have to backdate all the previous years of zakat. When you do receive, imagine you receive it after 5 years. When you do receive that £1,000, then you have to say, okay, 5 times zakat I have to take out for the past years. That's why it's good to just add it every year. And then when you receive it, then you don't have to do anything because every year you've been paying. So let's say we've added it. So it's gone to 3,000. Then what you need to do, final thing, is that what do I owe to others? And if you think that I owe people different you know, loans that I've taken or I need to pay money for certain items, you can minus that. So your total was 3,000 and then you minus what you owe to others. And that total to 1,000, you minus that, you went back to 2,000. That's it. That's your total figure. £2,000 is your figure. From that, you pay 2.5% as zakat. 2.5% of £2,000 is what? £50. £25 on 1,000? It's like £1 in £40. So in £1,000, it's £25. £2,000, £50. In £2,000. And that's the zakat. Now you don't have to give that 50 today on that first of Muharram. You can set it aside, best to actually take it and put it away somewhere. If not, actually make at least make a note of it And then later, throughout the year, until next month, next year, your zakat date arrives, slowly pay it off. You can say, I want to give £10 to someone, £5 tomorrow, next week. You can wait till Ramadan if you want. But just write and make a wasiyah bequest that if I was to pass away before I am able to pay this, then at least they know that this money has been set aside. It's due on me. This has to be given as zakat. So this is how we calculate. This is in a simple way I've explained it. But like I said, this is the date. Today, the 1st of Muharram is my zakat date. I don't have to worry about anything in between. So if some money had come even yesterday, I will include it in today's zakat calculation. And if some money, I had an amount of money, which I had for the full year, but just yesterday I spent it. I went and bought a car yesterday. There is no zakat on it. So that's why, I mean, it's not like a hila, but if you are thinking of buying something, you really need it, and you've thought about buying it, you've made an intention of buying it, people say, I've saved money because I'm going to buy it. If you haven't bought it and you've got it on that date, you have to pay zakat. You have to buy it the day before. If you want it, you've put money aside that you want to buy a car, before your zakat date comes, a day before at least, go and spend it. Then you don't have to give zakat from it. But if you've got it on that date, even if you are going to buy it tomorrow, then you will have to pay zakat. So whatever you have on that day, whether something came a day before, so there's no 1 year passing on that, it just came one day before. And something a whole year passed, but one day before it left you, there is no zakat. It's just on that date what you have, gold, silver, cash, business goods, and receivables, loans, and from there you minus what we give to other people. So this is a very like a kind of a simple way. This is what I've explained in this in terms of gold, silver, zakat on money, zakat on merchandise, which is business goods. And then I've talked about here two types of loans. There are two types of loans. Normal loans, which we take, okay, this will be subtracted. You know when I said at the end that we subtract, we minus what we owe other people. Right at the end, once we make our total, what we owe to other people, we minus that. So normally we do. However, sometimes there's major loans taken by businessmen for production of business, like to start a business, purchase machinery, etc. They're in there like 100,000, 200,000. And for this, there's a different ruling that, you know, if we were to subtract these, then not only is zakat not obligatory on these businessmen, rather they will become eligible to receive zakat. They're like millionaires, but they've got loans like 300,000, 400,000, 500,000. So for that, there's a slightly different ruling, which I've explained in the book, inshallah. There's no time to go into it, but I'll just read it. If you can understand, you understand. The rule is that if a person takes a substantial loan for a business purpose, and with this loan, he purchases zakat goods, like business goods, raw material, merchandise, then this loan will be subtracted from the total. However, if he purchases non-zakatable items, such as machinery, furniture, then it will not be deducted. An example for this, suppose a person took a loan of £100,000 from the bank to import machinery for his business. This loan will not be subtracted because machinery is a non-zakatable item, because there's no zakat on the machinery, like because it's not a business good. You know, if somebody has a factory and there's machines in there, there's no zakat on the machine when it's not for trade. On the other hand, if he purchased raw material, then due to it already being included in the zakatable assets, it will be subtracted. Because raw material, when you take the value of business goods, you will take that value. So you know when we say business goods, those things we buy with the intention of resale. So cars we've purchased with the intention of resale. If you've got a house that you've purchased with the intention of resale, then zakat is on the value of the house. If it's with the intention of putting it on rent, then there is no zakat on the value of the house. But yeah, when you get the rent, it's money. Then it'll go into the money category. If you've got a business and you've got like photocopy machines and machinery and like you've got lots of furniture, there's no zakat in furniture because you're not buying and selling the furniture itself, right? So you could have a massive building. There's no zakat on the building. Zakat on business goods means those items or those properties that were purchased with a clear intention of selling at the time of buying. So that's in terms of how we calculate our zakat. The second part, which is slightly important as well, not slightly, more really important, is distribution of zakat. Now, we've calculated our zakat. Now the second stage comes, which is to pay the zakat, to distribute it. We need to first of all make a clear intention. We need to first of all make a clear intention that we are giving zakat when we give. So there's rules about niyyah. And then the really important part is who can receive zakat. Now here a lot of people, you know, misunderstand, they go to extremes left or right. There's a lot of misunderstandings, a lot of malpractice about this issue. The safest situation to be in and the position to take, Allah talks about who zakat can be given to in the Quran. إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ وَالْغَارِمِينَ وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ. But the simple short answer is that zakat can only be given. Zakat can only be given to those people who do not own in excess of their personal needs any type of wealth that is equal to the value of nisab. Let me repeat this and explain. Who can zakat be given to? It can only be given to, first of all, only a Muslim. Okay, poor Muslim. Extremely poor, needy Muslim, making them the owner of that wealth. Tamliq, which is really important. Making them the owner. There's a definition given here by one of the early Hanafi fiqh imams. The zakat is the transfer of ownership of a part of one's wealth that Allah has specified to be given to a poor Muslim, except one who is from the Banu Hashim, whilst not providing the giver any means of benefit whatsoever, and it must be for the sake of Allah. That's another way of explaining. But if when I'm explaining this to you in short, is that it can only be given to, first of all, a Muslim. Some people think that, why Muslim? Like somebody just recently, you know, commented and asked me this question on my Facebook page, that Muslim, non-Muslims give lots of donations and charities to Muslims. Isn't that like being unfair and quite narrow-minded that we say that we can't give it to non-Muslims? The point is that we've misunderstood again. It goes back to, we think zakat is all charities. Zakat is that from the, you know, the 2.5% of the wealth that we've got. It's not all of charity. With the rest, 97.5%, we can give to non-Muslims, we can give to Muslims, we can give wherever, however, you know, whatever you want to do, give to people, whether they are needy, not needy, it doesn't matter. But for zakat, there are strict rules. Not just that we can't give it to only Muslims, and we can't give it to non-Muslims, we can't even give it to all Muslims. We can't give it to non-Muslims, and not even most Muslims we can't give to. It has to be a specific Muslim. And we can't even give it in charity, like I will explain, to the mosque. You can't build a mosque with zakat money. You can't fund a mosque. It has to be given to a poor Muslim who is such that he does not own in excess of his basic personal needs any type of wealth. Why do I say any type of wealth? So for example, let me say, there's a person, there's a brother. This person, if you want to give him zakat, he must not own, okay? After excluding his basic needs. So his basic needs means all the basic things of his life that he's utilizing. So for example, he's wearing clothes. You don't take the value of his clothes, a few pairs of clothes he has. You don't take the value of those clothes into consideration. He's got a house that he lives in. Again, you don't need to take the house into consideration. He's got a car that he uses. Not a second car, but he's got one car he uses. Food in his house. All of this all of these items are part of his basic needs. You don't take any of that into consideration. After that, you see, does this brother have any item? Not just those, you know, three items that the payer had to look at. The payer had to look at cash, gold, silver, business goods. That was for the payer. But for the receiver, in any form, if he has the 612 grams of silver, nisab amount in value in any format. So if he has that in cash, if he has that in another car, say he has two cars, one car is he is using, but the second car is basically, he just keeps on the side, then you will take that into consideration. If he's got excess clothes, you know, he has like 5 jackets, he only wears two coats, then the other three, the value of that will be taken into consideration. So anything in excess of his basic personal needs will be taken into consideration. And if he reaches that, then you can't give that person zakat. You know, sometimes we say there's a poor orphan or a widow. Just because they are poor, just because a person is orphan, zakat can't be given. We have to really properly check and investigate. So that's the person who we can give zakat to. The person who does not own in excess of their basic personal needs, any type of wealth that is equal to the value of nisab, i.e. 87.48 grams of gold or 612.36 grams of silver. Now here, there's a couple of things. The definition given by this imam was that that Muslim must not be Banu Hashim, from the Banu Hashim, a Sayyid, from the family of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if they're poor, what do? Give them from the 97.5 that we've got. Likewise, there should be no benefit whatsoever for the giver. So if we give it to the poor, but we're benefiting in some way, like you tell the poor that, okay, come and, you know, help me out, I'll give you zakat, but you have to wash my car. That's not allowed, because you're taking a benefit. You can't give as wages and salary to your worker, even if they're poor, because they are working for you. It's like you're buying something. You know, you say, okay, I've got zakat, but I'm going to buy some fish and chips for zakat. So like you're eating it. So it's a similar to, I'm giving you zakat, but you come and, like, you know, work for me. You know, he's giving you service in return. So you can't give wages and salary from it. And also, like I said, can't give to somebody who is from the family of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now there's a couple of things here, and I will end with this inshallah. In the verse of the Quran, Allah said, gave a list of people. And I'm not going to go into the details, but I'll just tell you what to read. In there he mentioned, fi sabilillah, in the path of Allah. And there's amirin aliha, zakat collectors. This is highly abused in our day and age, really seriously. First of all, fi sabilillah, in the path of Allah. Some people take this so leniently and so easily, like they apply this so casually. Zakat in the path of Allah. So any good cause, I actually tweeted about this as well, that some people, they take fi sabilillah, in the path of Allah, so casually that they think that zakat can be given for anything and everything, as long as it's not a bad thing. As long as you're not spending zakat to buy drugs or, you know, commit zina or eat haram food. But anything, Allah's path, like everything is good. So zakat, you can build masjids, construct mosques, make wells, everything and anything, any good cause. Oh, there's a pavement, you know, that needs to be constructed there, or there's someone's house there, or just general, the park here needs to be fixed, whether it's poor people, whether they're not too poor people, whether it's Muslim, whether it's non-Muslim, like, it's just give it out to people for good cause. This is not zakat. This is optional charity. And this is where one of my teachers was saying once, that we Muslims, we think that we want to sort out all the problems of the world with 2.5%. Because we say, if we can't give it to any all these different places, and zakat is only for that poor people, that poor person that I've actually just described, then who's going to give to non-Muslims? Who's going to build mosques? Who's going to cater for this and this and that? And, you know, all the different needs that we have. Of course we have needs. But this is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ فِي الْمَالِ حَقًّا سِوَى الزَّكَاتِ. إِنَّ فِي الْمَالِ حَقًّا سِوَى الزَّكَاتِ. Indeed, in your wealth, there is a right besides zakat. We can't fix the world's problems with 2.5%. 2.5% is for the poor. Leave it for the poor. Just leave it. Don't touch that. The rest, inshallah, use it for whatever, however you want. There are no rules for it. So, therefore, I would really make this plea, especially to our charities. Charities mashallah, many charities are working and taking money from Muslims and fulfilling their responsibility of giving zakat and other than zakat. But I really feel that we have to be very careful. Careful because, you know, this zakat wealth especially, it's playing with fire. It's the right, the haq, you know, the sacred wealth of the people. For the charity people, I have a plea, and also for the rest of the public. All these charities, like in the UK here, there's so many charities, so many. And even in America, Canada, and in the Western countries, many charities. It's actually really common. Like in Ramadan, it's millions of pounds are made by charities. Thousands and millions. You go on to, you know, your TV channel, every channel, day and night, people are just fundraising, asking for money. Fine, alhamdulillah. But there is a lot of malpractice that takes place, from what I have heard and people have told me. Like some great abuse of zakat funds and other funds that takes place. Now, don't ask me names and name charity. I don't know, you know, you need to pre-approve this. But for the charities, honestly, if it's zakat wealth, then make sure, clear, tell people your zakat money will only be used for the poor and no one else and nothing else, nothing for the administration cost, nothing. And even if it's other than zakat, make it clear that, look, we might use it for administration costs. Because, you know, we are putting adverts on, seriously, of extreme, destitute, poor people. Yeah, there's a poor Syrian 2-year-old child, orphan, a Sudani or a Somalian child with bones. Yeah, and people are very sentimental. People have empathy. Human beings, alhamdulillah, Allah created us all with kindness and care, and we have very soft hearts. Who wouldn't want to give? But then that money is given to that charity, and the charity thinks administration costs can be paid with that, and fi sabilillah is very general. And then the second term Allah used, wal amilin alayha zakat, collectors. And that also is not allowed, because this is what I was going to say, that inshallah, if you want more details on this, there's a very good discussion in Ma'ariful Qur'an, which is the 8-volume commentary of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, written by Shaykh Mufti Muhammad Shafi' rahimahullah, which is available in English. And also on our Darul Ifta website, I have an article on this. Can zakat be given, giving zakat in the form of salary? And I've talked about this, amilin alayha zakat, collectors, that this is only possible in a proper Muslim state, and you have a Khalifa and an Amir al-Mu'mineen and an Islamic government, not these Islamic governments, but like a Khilafah system. And the Amir al-Mu'mineen, because in that case, the Amir al-Mu'mineen is a agent on behalf of the poor. So basically, when you give them your zakat, your zakat is fulfilled, and he is basically taking money from that as wages on behalf of the poor. The poor are giving. Whereas today, the charities are the agents of the giver. If I give my money to a charity, they're my agent. My zakat is not fulfilled yet. There's a charity A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I've given them £200. Until they do not give that money in the hands of that poor person, or they don't buy an item and give that item, they don't buy medicine and give that medicine to them, and make them the owners of that medicine. You know, they have to make them the owner of the well. They have to make them the owner of an orphanage. If it's an orphanage, live in this orphanage, zakat is not fulfilled. If you're saying 10 orphans, you all, 10 of you, you know, you now are owners, title deeds on your name. You own this property, which was made through zakat funds. Then it's okay. But until that building is not made, and until it is not transferred into their ownership, zakat is not fulfilled. So, seriously, you know, I was saying this, that we see these adverts. You've put an advert of a poor, orphan, Syrian, African, you know, baby, child. People are struggling, nourished poorly. People, they pour their hearts out. They give you money. That money, then the charity thinks, can be used for administration costs. Administration costs also, and sorry, I'm being blunt and frank here, but administration, the cost may include your nice journeys. You know, a business class trip, you know, a nice 5-star hotel. And charities, they think it's okay, you know. And then the wages as well, some of them, 40K, 50K, 60K. They think it's, you know, permissible because we're working. This is not permissible. It is haram. Thumma haram. Seriously. Imagine, that person's heart poured out because they saw an orphan dying, and that money that you gave, they gave you, you are eating a doner kebab in the lounge or the balcony of a 5-star hotel in some country. I mean, how is that even justified morally, ethically, let alone Islamically and legally? Money people give you cannot be used for adverts, cannot be used for advertising, cannot be used for journey, travel, administration costs, nothing. Zakat money especially. Zakat money has to be given exclusively for the poor. Don't generalize fi sabilillah, because then it becomes very grossly sort of abused. And even the zakat collecting, this is the mainstream opinion about zakat collectors. Okay? Other than zakat funds as well, I personally don't feel that unless we don't tell the donators, the donors, that look, your money could be used in administration cost. Clearly tell them, okay, be open about it. Tell them. And if they're still happy that, look, okay, yeah, I don't mind you taking a, flight. But then, be careful. Some of the early scholars were very particular. They would take the minimum. They would never go in a business class. They would never use the charity money to travel on business class, because this is really for the poor, for the needy, for the places where the money needs to go. They will do the absolute bare minimum for the non-zakat I'm talking about. So I don't think it's justified. Unless you tell them that, look, we use your funds, non-zakat, for lots of things, administration costs, which includes travels and journeys, and sometimes our members, charity members and workers, they travel on business class. Some scholars, we take them on business class. We stay in 5-star hotels. We do eat a lot, whatever. Just be clear and open and then see if people give you. People are still happy to give you. Alhamdulillah. But honestly, this is my plea to the charities. And a plea to the general public is just be very careful. It's your money. I care for the money of the general public. There's so much money that is being taken from the general public by people. And, they give it with ikhlas and sincerity. And the takers, we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful. Even if it's a donation to a mosque, whatever, every penny, we need to be careful, and we will be accountable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not to say that every charity is involved in malpractice and abuse of funds, etc. Far from it. Alhamdulillah, there are and there must be a lot of charities who work diligently and ensure that the charity fund, the money that they receive, they look after those funds and ensure that they spend it on the rightful places. And they don't use anything for administration costs. There must be some charities. But there are also some charities that probably don't really look after the funds properly in a proper way. So therefore, for the general public, my advice is that just be very careful. If you can give money to the poor people yourself, alhamdulillah, especially if it's your zakat, because we have to be very careful who the money goes to. And if not, then inshallah, just before donating your funds and your money to any charity, just make sure that they use your funds and utilize the funds properly in a proper Islamic manner. And if it's your zakat, then they give it to the poor and needy people who are eligible to receive zakat. And if it's other than zakat, then however you feel, if you think that your money must go to the poor people or must go to places where you want them the money to go to, then speak to the charity and get a guarantee and ensure that the charity does use the funds appropriately, inshallah ta'ala. So this is in terms of giving zakat, the people who we can't give and we can give zakat to, like I mentioned, inshallah ta'ala. So anyway, this is briefly a brief discussion of the rules of zakat. And inshallah, hopefully if I can work on this book, and then we will inshallah publish this book again, Simplified Rules of Zakat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.